Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everyone again. We miss seeing the pastor this time around, so make sure you tell him we said hello. Amen. Appreciate the opportunity to stand in the sacred desk in his absence. I don't take that lightly. This is a sacred place, and appreciate that kind of trust. We love your pastor and his wife, and appreciate their ministry here. Appreciate you folks. And be honest, is anticipating coming because we love this place. Amen. We do. Just telling you. So praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you don't mind. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, right after Psalm 33 in most of your Bibles. Amen. Just try to be helpful. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise the Lord. We got here yesterday afternoon and wound up crashing a ladies' party. Sorry about that. They left an obstacle course that I'm not that professional of a driver to park between all those cars. So appreciate y'all moving it. And then to show you the blessing, my wife and I just talked maybe a minute before we had a knock at the door. Like, hey, what do you want to do about supper? And, you know, and then all of a sudden, they opened the door and they brought like six boxes of food. Hallelujah. It's like, man, we could have our own church fellowship right there. Well, we wouldn't have fit in there, but we had enough food for it for sure. So that's just God. He's just so good. Amen. And the food was good too. So whoever fixed it, you did a good job. I know these things, you know. Yeah. Amen. So we appreciate that and your kindness and hospitality. And so here we are, the weekend of the fourth. I love the 4th. It's one of my favorite holidays. I thought about preaching about the Baptists and the American Revolution, but I just done that like the time before last when we were here. So I was like, well, we need another awakening, don't we?
Amen.
And in the midst of the dark day, what I believe the Lord directed, in fact, confirmed it twice now, once with the sign and the songs and stuff today, just to try to encourage the saints here a little bit this morning. So we'll see what the word of God will do. And of course, he's the one doing it anyway. Amen. Enjoyed Sunday school class, that's for sure. All right, here we go. Down to business now. Psalm 34, everybody there?
Amen.
I gave you plenty long enough to get there. Mercy. Anyway. All right, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Let's pray right there. Father, we sure are excited to be here today, and we ask that you bless reading your word. In fact, take your word, please, and minister it to our hearts and for your honor and your glory. If there's lost among us, Lord, I pray you illumine their minds, show them the need of salvation, let them fall under Holy Ghost conviction, that they might repent of their sin and call on you in faith, and you might save them today. And for the saints, Lord, I pray you strengthen them, encourage their faith, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, here we are in this particular psalm, and when I was studying this, I found it interesting. In my Bible, there is a couple of sentences before this psalm starts. Does yours read like that? I don't know if all of them do or not, but it says, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Okay, well, that's there. And the reason that's there is to give a little bit of background to kind of set the context, the stage, whatever, for this particular song. Now, what I found interesting was that background we can read about in Samuel 21. Now, we're not turning back there. I'm just saying that's where the background that came from for this particular psalm. But when I read those couple of sentences and then I read through this psalm, I don't find any of those events mentioned. And I thought, well, here's something the psalm doesn't actually say, but it still teaches us. And that is, I know when I go through troubles, I get focused on the trouble, and the trouble seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger, overwhelming, you know. But here David, he doesn't dwell on his troubles. Instead, he's praising God. I thought, well, right there's something to be a blessing to us. Amen. So here's this Abimelech. He's the king of the Philistines. Achish is actually his name. Achish, the king of Gath there. And Abimelech is actually like his title, like Pharaoh would be to the Egyptian kings, like Caesar would be to the Roman emperors and stuff like that. Okay, so just a title. So don't get him confused. And David, he's going through some stuff. He has some stuff. He's going through some trouble in his life, and he's suffering from emotional hurt. You know, that's a real thing. It really is. And he was feeling rejected. He's rejected by the king to whom he had done nothing but good to. And see, folks, that all started back when King Saul, you've heard of him? Okay, two of us. And King Saul, and it all started when he lost the power of God because of his sin. And then it continued when Saul saw the hand of God on David. And then the king, father-in-law here, is going to give him his daughter to wife. And yet then he pulled the old switcheroo and gave him Michael because he knew that Michael would be a snare to David. That's a real sweet father-in-law, no doubt. And then he asked a dowry, hoping to get David killed, and God blessed him. He brought back double the amount. And now the king's so frustrated with this rage and envy and jealousy that he took his own spear and threw it at David, and he's moved out of the way, and it struck the wall behind him. And now David is actually fleeing for his life. If you remember, King Saul has a son. His name? Jonathan, absolutely. And David and Jonathan, they were best friends and really close and all. And he told his best friend, Jonathan, he says, I'm but a step from death. And now he's literally fleeing for his life. And he goes to the temple. And Ahimelech, the priest, not Abimelech, the king, okay? Ahimelech, the priest, was there. And, of course, David and his men, they had some showbread and asked, are there any weapons here? And I thought, yes, weapons in the house of God. I like it. Amen. So the priest, he's looking around. He's like, you know, I just see, oh, yeah, here's one. And whoosh, pulls out the sword, you know, the one you kill Goliath with. Now, obviously, it would probably be a little bigger than this and not made out of wood, but nonetheless, is for illustration purposes only, okay? So David's like, ooh, none like that one. Amen? And I believe he straps it on. It seems like that's what he would have done. Amen? I'm not real clear there. So they leave. Now, here's the part I don't get. Why did David run to the enemy for refuge? You ever feel stressed and make some stupid choices? Well, I'm thinking this probably wasn't the best one David's ever made. So he goes to the king Achish there, and as he's coming, probably not too smart wearing the sword to kill Goliath with, you know. It's Terry's imagination here. But as he comes in before the king, the king's been like, woohoo, king, stop! This is David, the king of Israel, and he's coming here to kick chicken. And it's like, well, that's in the Hebrew. So anyway, when that happened, the Bible says very plainly in Samuel 21 that David is sore afraid. Church, look, if here's afraid, this is sore afraid. It means that you've been pressed out of measure, beyond your limit. You're flat scared to death. Because of that fear, and he's thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this one? And then their comments was, yeah, he's the king of Israel, but time out chronologically. They couldn't have known about Samuel's anointing David to be king yet. I mean, he had, but there's no way they could have knew that. But what they heard was a very popular song was in the top 10 of the charts of the day. Went something like this. Let's see. Saul hath killed his thousands. David hath killed his. Oh, you heard it too. So anyway, it got around. And then when David's hearing this and his accusing him before the king, he's sore afraid. He's pressed out of measure. So what happens here is he actually feigns himself, or he puts on a mask, or he puts on a show, and he begins to act like a madman, a crazy man. He began to allow the slobber from his mouth that dripped down on his beard and began to paw at the wall and the door and pretended himself to be crazy. That's where he's at. He's thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this mess? Hey, church, have you ever been there? Have you ever been hurt? Feeling rejected? Perhaps running scared. Maybe even your life was literally in danger. And where you ran for help, blows up in your face. And now you're sore afraid. Well, I believe we can learn a lot from Brother David with this morning. Because see, we all go through storms. We all go through the midnight hours. We've all walked through some dark valleys. When it rains, it pours. Exactly. Okay. So here's my question. As we get into this passage, don't answer it right away. The question is, do you trust the Lord? Don't answer it. Do you trust the Lord with everything? Don't answer it. But do you trust the Lord with everything? Everything, even in the hard times. Kind of hold that thought to the end, and we'll come back to that. This particular psalm can actually be divided into two sections. The first 10 verses in which we read is actually a hymn. Here's something else that I believe that this psalm teaches us, that the Lord would give you a song in the night. Have you ever gone through a hard time, a valley, a midnight hour, and God bring a song back to your mind? Yeah, amen. Hey, church, it's vitally important, utmost important to have good godly music in your life. God will use it to help you when we're going through things. Yes, amen. Well, anyway, the second half of the psalm here, the last 12 verses, is actually a sermon. But this morning, the Lord has directed me, we're going to take a look at the first 10 verses of this particular song, that actually can be divided into three parts. So part number uno, that's one for English speaking people, is David vows to bless the Lord at all times. All right. So if you're taking notes, that's number one. If you're not taking notes, number one is David vows to bless the Lord at all times. You get the same message either way. All right. Here we go. So he's blessing. And in fact, right back to our text in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Did you notice it says, I'll praise the Lord at all times? So at all times, David praises the Lord. That means you praise the Lord even in the hard times. You praise the Lord in the good times. And one can always find reason to praise him just over his mercy. Our brother pointed that out in Sunday school. Amen. But however, I have a little bit of issue with this particular verse because praising the Lord at all times, that's not natural. Because that's not what I do. How about you? Usually when I'm going through a hard time or a heartache or a trial or a storm, my natural response, okay, I just go ahead and tell myself, is to whine about it. To complain. To murmur. Maybe get a little grumpy. You ever be a Mr. Grump Bucket? Don't ask my wife. That's not playing fair. Okay, so that's the natural response, agreed? So how can he say, obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I'll praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Well, that's not a natural response. That's a supernatural response, because that's above what you and I as humans would actually do in a natural case. Is this making sense? So I started asking myself, how in the world can he do such a thing? And I believe the answer is right there in verse number 2. Look with me. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Verse 1 was my mouth does the praising, but verse 2, my soul does the boasting. So what's going on in verse 2? Folks, that's worship. Well, in Psalm 103, David has a beautiful psalm. You want an example of worship? He's like, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen? Yeah, amen. Well, and by the way, keep your devotions up. This is your quiet time we're talking about, where you set a time every day, where you read the word, and you pray, But in the midst of that, don't forget to back up 2 or 3 minutes every once in a while and just spend some time adoring him, blessing him, enjoying your Savior. Remember, I think a couple times ago, I dealt with worship here. One, willfully humbling themselves by bowing, kneeling, or prostrating themselves on the ground in adoration of God. By definition, that's what it means. Folks, don't let us forget who our Savior is. So even Jesus said, what's in the heart comes out. So if our worship time's going good in the private time, then we too, like David, can supernaturally respond and say, I'll praise the Lord at all times. Because what's going on in the heart is going to come out. Yeah, amen. Amen. And I love how this is put together. It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Well, the humble is the saved. In fact, to get saved, you're going to have to humble yourself. You don't just kick the door into heaven and say, okay, here I am, God, save me. Who do you think you are? No. We approach him humbly because we're a sinner and we stand in jeopardy of our soul in hell forever. That's why that's called repentance. We've realized we've offended a thrice holy God with our sin. We need his forgiveness. Amen. In fact, he's pretty proud of you to think you could work your way to heaven. Really? Who do you think you are? Hebrews 1:3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, of course that's Jesus Christ, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Well, amen. Jesus does the forgiving. It's his blood that does the washing away of the sin. So if you're here this morning, put your faith in him to save you. He will. But recognize it's not a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me kind of prayer. It's you're realizing you're in jeopardy before God because of your sin account. You need his forgiveness. Yea, the mercy we talked about. Hallelujah. Thank God for his grace as well, giving us what we don't deserve, and that's forgiveness. And when we call on him in faith, he promised he'd save us. So if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I encourage you to get saved. Amen. And then he says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Well, the humble, the saved, okay? So what's going on here should be, this brother over here might stand and say, well, I just want to praise the Lord. He done this and this and this. And somebody back here might say, well, amen, that's him. Because the humble heard it. Because when we're saved and we hear somebody bragging on Jesus, it ought to stir something in our spirit. And when in agreement, we'd shout amen or hallelujah or glory or something like that. Come on now. And then he challenges us right here. He says, I sought the Lord magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. How can one make God any bigger than he is? That's what magnify means. I mean, you can't even squish God into 24 hours. He inhabits eternity. Amen. But it's when we are going through things and we're praising him supernaturally because our time of adoration with him in our quiet time is splashing out now or running over into life in real time. And then another brother or sister may hear that and think, whoo, amen. That's him. That's our Lord. Amen. Well, when that happens, when a congregation assembles, folks, God's magnified. And we don't know, I don't know, but I don't know if there's even any visitors here today or not. There may be. Thanks for coming. If you are, we're glad to have you. But at the same time, I know that sometimes people, when they come to church, look at me, they're coming to try church. And if they don't find what they're looking for here, they're going to go home and end it all. Well, when they come into a congregation that's alive like this, who spent time worshiping God, and the outflow that happens in that church service of the praising God and magnifying the Lord, the visitors might think, these people are crazy. Or they might actually believe this stuff. And rather than going home to end it all, they may go home for the first time in their life with a glimmer of hope that, hey, there just may be something to this.
Amen.
Amen. It's vitally important what kind of church services we have. Yeah, amen. They're to magnify the Lord. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So David, he vows to bless the Lord at all times, and then he encourages others to join him. And then he lists some reason to do so, which is our second thought here, as David relates his experience. So David relates his experience in number two, back to our text in verse four. Text in verse four says, "And I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from half my fears." Whoops! Says all my fears. Said, "I sought the Lord, and he what? He heard me." Okay, y'all didn't hear that part. "I sought the Lord and he heard me."
Amen.
Yeah, amen. And then it says, "They looked into him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them." Well, amen. Well, here's something else this particular psalm doesn't record. Says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." What's he doing? He's obviously, right, he's obviously praying. What's his prayer? I read through Psalm 34. I didn't find it. I went back to Samuel 21. I didn't find it there either. I just seen him acting like a crazy man, out of his mind, sore afraid. That's what I seen. But I didn't see his prayer. Then I got thinking about this. You know, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't make mistakes. When he wrote the Word of God, he wrote it absolutely perfect. Come on. So if it's not there, apparently that wasn't the emphasis of the thought. But maybe he was teaching us something else by not stating it. And that is, it doesn't matter the words or what we say as long as we're praying. Okay? Because you've ever been in a situation, you know, you're supposed to pray. You know, you should pray. But you don't have a clue as to what to pray. I've been there. Hey, folks, the Bible is very relevant. I mean, that's real-time stuff right there. Amen. Well, so here we have a prayer that's not recorded, but we know he prayed and we know God heard him. His prayer might have been, "Help!" Amen. Hey, that works. Yeah, amen. It might have been, "Lord!" That works too. I mean, I don't know. You don't know. It doesn't say. But you and I, we have the blessing of the New Testament. In Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Been there. That's me. Yeah, watch. It goes on to say, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Well, thank God, folks. When we're in a situation, even a bad choice, went somewhere that blew up in our face, thought we would find refuge, and actually is now worse trouble than before, not knowing we need to pray, not knowing what to pray, God says, "You go ahead and pray, and the Holy Ghost will get involved, and he'll fix all the grammar, and he'll make it just right, and he'll take it to the Father." Hallelujah, that's our promise.
Amen.
So just pray when your back's against the wall like that. We might not know what to say or even how to do it, but just go ahead and pray. He said he'll take care of the rest.
Right.
Folks, that's our God.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, oh, I love this part. Look at it here. Verse 6. "This poor man cried." Huh. Who's the poor man? was David. He didn't say, hey, God, this is the king to be. You know, you anointed me. I'm going to be the king. So you need to answer this prayer right now. What? That wasn't his heart. I believe the reason God heard his prayer is because of the meekness of David's heart. So this poor man cried. I don't have any merit of my own to approach you. I don't have any deed that I've ever done that would gain your approval or your ear as far as that goes. He said, this poor man cried. So I even picture him like this poor man. He's on his knees or perhaps his face. God, I'm just a poor man. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I just know I need your help. Lord, I need mercy. And you know what the Bible says? It said he heard him. And it said he delivered him from all his fears. You ever been gripped with fear? If anything, I've noticed in the last 2.5 years traveling the country that fear has crept into the Lord's churches all over the place. And we need not fear because our God still reigns supreme. We might not know what's going on. We might not even know how to pray. But we sure have the Holy Ghost to help us. And when we go calling on him, he takes care of it. And God can help us. You know why? He's God. Well, amen. Did you check this verse out in 7? The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord? Hey, folks, just for the record, I don't know that I've ever seen an angel. And I'm fine with that. Amen, brother? I don't have to see an angel. In fact, I prefer to wait till I get to heaven to see angels. I said, why? Because if I see one sooner, I may go sooner. I don't know. But if I'm in trouble and God wants to dispatch an angel to help me, he can do that. You know why? He's God. Did you realize he doesn't have to send an angel? No, he don't have to. He can just say the word. Yeah. And help me. You know why? He's God. Well, amen. I'm liking this. Did you realize he didn't even have to say a word? He can just like will it, ever how he does that. He can just will it and done. Amen. You know why? He's God. Exactly. You're catching on. I'm hoping this is encouraging here this morning. No, I don't have all the answers. I haven't figured it out. Yeah, I get frustrated with what's going on. No, there's times I don't know how to pray. But I know one thing. I know whom I believed. And he's able to keep that which is committed against him against that day. Hallelujah. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our champion. He's our triumphant God. He transcends his creation. There is none like him. There is God and none else. Well, glory to God. Amen. Well, I didn't even get a Baptist excited. Well, what a promise. So David, he vows that he's going to bless the Lord at all times. And he gives a testimony how it worked out for him. No wonder why he says in 3, David exhorts others to remain solid in their faith. Hey, back to our text. Look at 8. In 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Folks, what is a taste? Well, a taste is a sample. A taste is a personal experience where you see for yourself. How many remember pre-COVID? Okay. You can go to, well, pre-COVID, before, you could go to Walmart at lunchtime. And you can walk down the aisle and you see this booth out in the middle of the aisle and the sign says, delicious. Now, you don't know if it's delicious or not, but you can read, you see the sign, okay? And they have all these little cups out on that little table. And the lady back there says, hey, you want one? It's like, well, duh. So you take one, whatever it might be, and you taste it. And you say, man, it is delicious. Can I have another one? You know, sometimes you need two samples. So you enjoy your second sample, and then you go around the corner, another one. You could have spent your whole lunch hour there. Not that I did. I'm just saying you could have. Amen. But they want, why do they do that? Because they want you to buy the whole box. Right? Okay. Well, our soul tastes by faith. So faith is how our soul tastes. And Brother David is saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Folks, I could tell you about my wife's homemade chocolate chip cookies, and I wouldn't be lying because they are really good. Take them out of the oven, you put the spatula under, you pick it up, and it kind of folds over and kind of strings the little chocolate stuff. You know, it's like, yeah. About 8 or 9 of those and a tall glass of milk. You're in some tall cotton, friend. And they are. So you put them in a Tupperware little thing, you know, little thing. Okay, and you say, hey, you want one? You say, no, I want two. I don't blame you. Here, I have two. But then when you actually taste it for yourself, you'd say, Brother Danford wasn't lying. These really are really good. But see, for those of you in here who haven't had that privilege, all you have is my testimony.
Right.
You've never tasted for yourself. You haven't had that personal experience. So Brother David actually gives us a twofold invitation in this close of this song under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. One is for the children of God. When you're sore afraid, hurt, running scared, in danger, perhaps even for your own life. Sometimes in our human frailty, we make dumb choices. And where we go and grab for refuge, blows up in our face, and now we're sore afraid. You know what Brother David's saying? Hey, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because sometimes we Christians, we know He's good, and there's not a one of us in here that's been saved any length of time that couldn't stand and testify, the Lord is good.
Right. Amen.
Absolutely. He sure is, and it's true.
Right.
But sometimes in the heat of the battle, we might get a little foolish and run to things that the world does to try to find solace or comfort or help. Now, I'm not saying necessarily you might run out to alcohol or immorality like the world does. Hopefully not. If you do, repent, man. What are you doing? Okay. So I don't think that anyway, especially at this place. Okay. But sometimes we might indulge ourselves in our work just to try to escape. We might bury ourselves in a hobby, even though the hobby's good. See, what you ran to the wrong place, is what I'm saying. So Brother David said, hey, take it from me, okay? I'm reminding you, oh, come taste again. Oh, come see, He's still good. So I don't know what you're going through. Don't know what kind of storm or midnight hour or valley perhaps you might be going through right now. But I believe God wanted me to encourage you this morning by a reminder of Brother David. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. To bring it back to the throne of His, at the feet of His throne. Casting our care on Him, for He care for you. So I'm not teaching anything new. But who doesn't need a reminder once in a while? In the craziness of out there. So when we come into God's house, yeah, a house of refuge, we might be reminded, encouraged. Brother Peter said, I'm telling you this by way of stirring up your peer remembrance, you know. Just a reminder. So I'm not teaching it. Just remind, hey! Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. The second part of the invitation is to the lost person. It's for you to come and taste for yourself personally and see how good a Savior He really is. Now, if you've come to this church any length of time, then you've heard the man of God stand week after week after week and preach the gospel and preach the gospel and preach the gospel. And you've heard the testimonies of the brothers and sisters here of how good God is, and he is.
Amen.
But you don't know that personally, and it's possible for you to sit amongst the assembly like this, die and split hell wide open, knowing full well that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for your sin. He was buried and rose again. You could go to hell knowing those facts because you never tasted personally. See, salvation is a personal experience. You can hear the testimony, heard the testimony of the cookies, but until you ever have one, you won't know for yourself. You just have to go on the testimony. You can hear about the Lord's goodness, and he is good. There's no doubt about that. That is a true statement. That is a true testimony. But until you taste by faith personally, putting your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, then you haven't tasted. Just making sense? Well, I've been going here since I was 4 years old. Praise God. It's a great place to grow up. But if you never tasted personally, you're not saved.
That's right.
Well, I just started coming. Glad you're here. But if you never tasted personally, you need to get saved this morning. Yeah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah, amen. Amen. Isn't that the beauty of the song? So there's a twofold invitation. If you're lost, I'm going to encourage you to come taste and see how wonderfully gracious our God is.
Amen.
If you're saved already and you got a big storm going on and carrying a big load right now, you just really kind of, Hey, we've all been there. Just a reminder, nobody's beating anybody up. You know it already. Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. So you know it already. It's a reminder to come taste again, because his mercies are new every morning. You can't exhaust an inexhaustible God. There's only one. His name's Jesus Christ. And he's our he's our Savior. If you've tasted personally. Is this making sense, church? So I trust that the Spirit of God has used the Word of God this morning to encourage you that even when you're against the wall and don't know how to pray, you ought to pray, but don't have a clue what to pray, just go ahead and taste. He's still good. He can help you even know how to pray when we're in trouble. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's all stand, please, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed.